Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome in, Brewers fans. It is another edition of Hot Stove Weekly / Spring Training Live, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals here on The Fan. Tim and Tausch, Billy Schmid, Tim Allen, and some Brewers information for the next hour. We'll chat about Jake Arrieta, or the lack thereof, Jake Arrieta. Billy, disappointed in not signing him?
Very disappointed, Tim. I didn't understand a reason why you wouldn't at least pony up the money. I understand maybe why he wouldn't have signed with you. I think there was some factors that would lean him towards Pennsylvania over Wisconsin, but besides the fact, I think it was a major mistake.
Well, we'll see, because they lost out on Lance Lynn also, who signs a one-year $12 million deal, and now that leaves who left on the free agent market in terms of top-of-the-rotation-type pitchers?
And Alex Cobb, and that's about it?
I don't know if he's not a number one.
They sure think he is, or at least he thought he was when he was commanding, $80 million at the start of free agency?
Yeah, so we'll chat a little bit about that and whether or not you guys want to see that pitcher signed. Does David Stearns, general manager of the Brewers here, does he go ahead and pull the trigger and finish the deal here? I mean, piggyback on top of what you did with a guy like Matt Albers, a guy like Boone Logan, a guy like Lorenzo Cain, a guy like Christian Yelich. Does he seal the deal with another pitcher? A lot of people say he should. And a lot of people are, having the deal that, he's halfway. He's halfway there. Now finish it up. But we'll see. I mean, there's still two plus weeks left of the offseason. We'll find out what's going on there. The Brewers in play as we speak. They were down 3-0, went ahead and took the lead 6-4. Now it's 6-5 last I checked, Billy.
Still the same read at 6-5 as they take on the Dodgers over there. And Taylor Williams getting himself back out onto the mound, and he has looked really, really good all camp, Jim.
I think he may make this team. Sparky and I were talking about that when we were in Phoenix. We both think that he's one of those guys that's just going to a little bit of a surprise and say, hey, man, you're on the team.
Another refresh, and we're at 7-5 Brewers.
Okay. And that doesn't mean that he will stay here the entire year. We're going to see some back and forth in that bullpen from AAA to the bigs here for sure. But speaking of bullpens, we will focus on that in the second segment of the program today, as Bill Michaels is out in Phoenix at Maryvale, had an opportunity to sit down with both Jeremy Jeffress and Josh Hader, going to play huge roles coming up in just 17 or 18 days from right now, when they fire things up in San Diego. So he sat down with both Jeffress and Hader. Also on the show, Lorenzo Cain and Travis Shaw. So a lot coming up here on Spring Training Live here, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. And Billy, Fox Sports Wisconsin released their TV schedule. I've said it before, and I think a lot of folks agree that, this day and age, with technology the way it is, and a million different TV channels and venues, why isn't every single game in at least the professional big four sports, football, baseball, basketball, hockey? I mean, shouldn't every game be televised somewhere on some platform?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I don't understand how you can get away with not televising a game, and especially, Tim, in baseball, where it's so vital that you're making your own money with your own TV contracts, unlike the NFL and somewhat in the NBA, but you make so much of your own revenue that goes directly into your team performance and the ability that you have to spend on your team. It almost feels like it's dropping the ball a little bit not to have it. Or is that just me?
No, I think you're right, and it just, I don't know, man. It's I look at you know, the TV coverage of these professional organizations as basically commercials. Mm-hmm. I mean, they really are. They're commercials for your product. And the more you get it out there, the more commercials you get, the more hype you get around it, et cetera, et cetera. So they've released their Fox Sports Wisconsin schedule. What's the tally at for at least Fox Sports Wisconsin games?
155 games will be televised on Fox Sports Wisconsin, the exclusive local television provider. Also, it's showing that there will be 7 appearances on Fox Sports 1 throughout the year.
Okay, and then you figure MLB Network, and you would assume, you know, that there's probably very, very few that are not going to be covered. You know, over the years, we've always basically a midweek afternoon game.
Mm-hmm.
You and I both, you know, is this game? Nah, it's not a TV game. And you're like, oh, what's going on here? But that's good. They almost got the entire regular season games, and of course, the postseason games. They will be.
If they
televised.
Don't televise one of those, we will throw some kind of rally.
Then there's a problem. Yeah, then
we're gonna have trouble in River City.
All right, news of the week here since last we spoke. There's a handful of players that have signed contracts, and this is sort of just dotting the I's and crossing the T's, fully under team control. And Travis Shaw, not particularly pleased with the amount of money he's getting, but nonetheless, there's not much he can do about it, and he understands that. So he signs Jet Bandy, Jake Nottingham, Keon Broxton, Brett Phillips, Domingo Santana, Zach Davies, Oliver Drake, and Brent Suter and Tyler Webb, all ink deals in the last week or so. And we have our first round of cuts, Billy. I don't know if you caught this, but sent out of the big league camp. And that doesn't mean that these guys aren't going to play in, you know, a Cactus League game or two, because they're constantly borrowing players from the minor league side. There's like a group of 6 or 8 of them that walk back and forth, depending on what the Brewers have going in the big league game. But the cuts that were sent out that will not make the team: Mauricio Dubon, Marcos Dipuan. Yeah, well, there's your guy. But this is not surprising. This doesn't mean they lose these guys.
Mm-mm.
It's just a formality, really, that way, way under team control here for all of these guys. Dubon, Marcos Dipuan, Adrian Hauser, Jorge Lopez, Nottingham, Freddie Peralta, Adrian Hauser, Tyler Webb, Corbin Burns, John Perrin, Luis Ortiz, all sent out of big league camp. So that, you know, Craig Counsell told us a week or two ago when we were in Phoenix that it's almost running like a football camp.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so many bodies in that clubhouse, and now it kind of loosens up just a little bit with those guys out of the every morning kind of shuffle and the daily routine. But again, you know, the players I just listed that were sent to the minor league side doesn't mean you lose them. A lot of people, I saw somebody on social media say that, why would they cut these guys? Well, they're not really cutting them from the organization. Relax. It's all good. Yeah, everything's going to be fine. So there's the news of the week, if you will. And the bigger news, I think, is Jake Arrieta going to the Phillies and not the Brewers. It looks to be a 3-year deal, $25 million a year. Would you have done that if you were general manager David Stearns? Are you disappointed, first of all, in that? If you want to jump in here, 414-799-1250, as you're listening to Spring Training Live presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. Admiral Center Ice coming up at 7 o'clock. I'm a little disappointed in that. You lost out on Darvish, and that didn't surprise me. I mean, if you go back a couple of months, Billy, I don't know if you recall, he had met with the Chicago Cubs brass. And did he not do that without an interpreter?
Mm-hmm.
And so that told me right there that there's something cooking in Chicago there for Darvish. And I didn't get my hopes up for that one. The Arrieta thing, I thought here in the 11th hour, not that we're, you know, right at the cusp of opening day, a couple of 2.5 weeks left. This, I thought he would maybe swoop in and just sign him. And I thought, well, Jake Arrieta is probably going to want a 4 or 5 year deal. I don't blame him. They all want the big money, the guaranteed money, the long-term deal. and they don't get it done, and it turns out, would you have signed Arrieta to a 3-year $25 million?
I would have done it every day of the week and twice on Sunday, Tim. I was a big fan of Arrieta coming into free agency. I think what he sends to your clubhouse walking in there, I kind of joked about it on the morning show earlier today when I talked to Chuck and Bart, that look at what it did to the Houston Astros last year when you bring in a former Cy Young Award winner and Justin Verlander, and the boost of confidence it gives to the locker room of, guys, we're for real. They wouldn't make this move if there's not a sense of urgency here. And there's a very, very cool, calm, and collected confidence brewing with that clubhouse. And I think the opportunity you had to just give it such a jolt of energy by bringing in a dude that 3 of the last 4 years has finished in the top 5 in Cy Young, or top 10 in Cy Young Award winning, won the Cy Young in 2015, has a 3.08 ERA in the playoffs. I thought it was just a really, really lost opportunity to add somebody that you don't get to see every day. I mean, Tim, you've been around this team for how long? When was the last time you saw a guy that won a Cy Young Award be available to be signed on the free agent market on March 12th?
Yeah, and not a trade. A viable free agent that is attainable. And that's what's confusing to me a little bit, Billy, is that, you know, you go so far in and you measure one side or the other. One side, general manager David Stern says, well, I'm gonna bolster my offense, obviously. I made a trade for Yelich. I signed Lorenzo Cain. But I still stick with my plan because those two moves do help us for now and in the future. And I do agree that it is both. And he has said that for a few years now, that, hey, the moves we're going to make are not only going to help us now, but they're going to help us for the future. And it made sense, both Yelich and Cain. But then you think, well, are you going to go ahead and piggyback on top of that, or are you doing this step by step and say, hey, man, let's not get the cart ahead of the horse. Let's hold off a little bit. We're still in this gradual uprise. We're still ascending as an organization. Let's relax a little bit. We supplemented by signing Wade Miley, Yovani Gallardo. Those guys are viable options, major league, big league pitchers that have had some success in the big leagues. We think we can find a diamond in the rough. We're confident with Zach Davies, Jolys Chacin, and Chase Anderson. I'm a little confused by it. It's almost like, okay, yeah, you want to be legit, and I think to a degree they are. But is it fully legit? Is it fully all in? I don't think it is.
No, I don't think it is either, Tim, but I also think they're trying to get that word out of the Brewers dictionary of going all in or going for it. This program that they have put in place now is not meant for just 1 or 2 years. I mean, when you make those moves like Cain and Yelich, those got to have at least 2020 still in mind.
So when you say it helps us for now and helps us in the future, Yelich is going nowhere.
Right.
Cain's going nowhere.
Nope.
Braun is still here for 2 or 3 years. Santana's not going anywhere. Shaw's not going anywhere. You know, you can say that signing Arrieta would have been for now and the next 2 years after this year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you do look at the money, and I get the bean counters. I get those guys. This is a business. I understand. You sign Jake Arrieta, $25 million there. Brawny at $20 million. Cain at $20 million. Now you're $60-plus million on three players. Chacin is $8 million. Now you're up over $70 million on four players. Think about that. Four players at $70 million in Milwaukee?
And that's like, if you want to draw a comparison, so you go to the gas station, you have $50 in your pocket to buy lottery tickets, and you spend all 20 of it or 25 of it on the biggest lottery ticket you can find, and instead you decided just to go pick it down with a couple of $2 in Wade Miley, and then you go up a little bit more, and maybe you try a $10 crossword with Jolys Chacin, but you didn't want to pull that trigger on the big one knowing the kickback can be more.
You might go $10 on Yelich.
Right, yeah, $10 on Yelich. That was a good one. The Cain one might have been a slot machine one, maybe worth about 10, 12, 15, something like that.
And they will tell you, the organization will tell you, well, we're always going for it. Well,
How are you?
So close, though. You're so close. They're a good baseball team. There's no question about it. They're going to be a good baseball team. But you're so close, and I understand what you meant about Verlander going to Houston. It is that intangible that the rest of that clubhouse says, whoa, we did what? Nice. Yep. Sweet.
Wakes you up.
Here we go. Yeah, here we go again. Let's get in this thing. So, I don't know. It's not that I'm disappointed in the Arrieta thing, but just slightly maybe. 414-799-1250. There are some cons to it also, and I understand, and we've been burned by this before from free agent pitchers, veteran free agent pitchers. I get it, but you can't compare, at least not yet, you can't compare Jake Arrieta to Jeff Suppan. I mean, I don't think that's fair. We'll get to Kyle in just a second here. Also, coming up after this break, we'll hear Bill Michaels. He had to sit down with both Josh Hader and Jeremy Jeffress. Jeremy Jeffress, the DJ of the clubhouse, that's for sure. He's got control of everything. You're listening to Spring Training Live, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. Tim and Tausch, Bill Schmid, Tim Allen here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. And welcome back, Brewers fans. Spring Training Live, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. I cannot wait, as we are 2 weeks away from Thursday.
I really can't wait for our grill out that we're going to do on opening day. That's going to be a good time.
Yeah, now I don't know if it's breaking any station rules. I got this little sausage griller indoor thing. It's an indoor thing.
Well, it can't be safe, but you know, who cares?
No, it's fine. There's five little slots in there. It's got a thermometer built right in, and so when the middle one is cooked the proper way, then they're done, and I'm sure someone will gripe about it.
Oh, somebody will be mad.
I don't know.
But you know what?
We'll save that for a podcast.
We're just making it smell great in this studio outside of Blair Hicks coming in here just after a workout and reeking
the place up. A ton of brats, so brats, and I'm not doing all the condiments. It's ketchup, mustard, buns, and brats. That's all we're getting.
That's
today.
All you get from Tim Allen.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You want to add something to it? Fine. We'll do it.
You'll find it yourself.
Hey, Chase Anderson, it's been announced he's going to be the opening day starter for the Brewers here in the 2018 championship season. And I had asked him about that when we were out in Phoenix. So we'll have that for you coming up in just a bit. Kyle, let me get to you at 799-1250. Are you a little disappointed, Kyle, that the Brewers didn't pull the trigger on Arrieta?
Well, I'm not all that disappointed. I have a feeling it was a money situation. And I think what's going to happen is that we're going to go into the season starting with what we have right now, but before the trade deadline ends, in July, you're going to see either one or two new pitchers on the Brewers team that are going to make an immediate impact for a big-time push.
Okay, Kyle, here's the deal on that, though. If they happen to stumble out of the block, and baseball teams do that, and it's no indication of how good they are, it's just circumstance, man. The ball doesn't bounce right, maybe there's an injury or two, and you get out of the blocks with a – I don't know. Let's just say, for the sake of the argument, a 10-19 mark or something like that. Would that then hold them from making that acquisition? And then they'd hang their hat on, hey, man, we got help on the way. Jimmy Nelson is going to come back here in about a month.
No, I mean, Jimmy Nelson's coming on back, but they're going to bring him back slowly. And if they want an immediate impact, they are going to go on out, and they're going to get someone that you're not going to expect them to even get, just like I never expected Yelich. I never expected to have Kane back again. And they're going to pull in, and you're going to see somebody like – I mean, I know it's going to be a big-time name, and they're going to pull in someone, and you're just going to go like, what the heck just happened?
I hope you're right, Kyle. All right, thanks a lot. Now, conversely, if they do get off to a good start, let's say they go 17-10, 18-10. Now – you're just sitting there, you're trotting now. Now you're doing almost a home run dance, because then you have Jimmy Nelson coming back, and then you have the flexibility, and that's where Kyle was getting to. It's a money thing. It does provide you at least the financial flexibility to bring in another frontline starter. I mean, you can look at it both ways, and it's all about, please, for the love of God, get off to a good start. Just a decent start. Keep yourself in it. I think they will. Pretty sure they will. Bullpen's going to play a big part of that, Billy, as six of the spots, as we've been reporting since we've been in Phoenix, that six of those spots are covered. And there's two spots open. We mentioned Taylor Williams just a little while ago. He's got a shot at this thing. Is Giovanni Gallardo going to be a bullpen pitcher? Is he a starter? Mm-hmm. Brent Suter, is he going to be a starter? Is he going to be on that bullpen? A lot of different opportunities here. There, for the most part, there are two bullpen spots open and two rotation spots open. So you can go in a number of different directions here. But one thing we do know, by the way, that also new since we spoke last, Corey Knebel put a little bit of a scare on us yesterday. There's been some tendonitis there, but he slipped on the mounds, a little rain in Phoenix, and no big deal.
Did a nice job giving everybody a nice cardiac arrest showcase early on here.
But again, to cover your flank, who's the closer if Corey doesn't get it done or is mm-hmm. injured or whatever? I mean, that is something, man.
And you got guys on the free agent market, Tim. We talked about the starters, and I think everyone's focused on that when we look at pitching. There's guys on that free agent market that have been bona fide closers in the big leagues. Greg Holland had a crazy good year last year. He's unsigned. Houston Street has been closing games since I was in fifth, sixth grade, and he's still unsigned. So there's guys that have been in that position that later on in camp, maybe one of those is a guy that you bring in for one of those lottery ticket kind of deals.
Is Jeremy Jeffress the backup plan in the back end of that bullpen? He might be. We have discussed that. Josh Hader, is he the backup plan? I don't think so, because I think they like him multiple innings. But let's hear Bill Michaels, who is at Maryvale Baseball Park for the good chunk of this week, had an opportunity to sit down with Jeremy Jeffress, and let's hear that.
Last year, this was a team that didn't have many expectations. This year, you guys do. Is it a different pressure?
No, not really. I think it's like a new drive, a new story. You know, because last year it finished, you know, not necessarily the way we wanted, but you know, this year it's same guys, new pieces, same story. You know, just a new one.
You know? You guys were pretty strong in the bullpen, especially in the second half of last season. I know early on in the season it might have wore a few guys down, but overall, give me your assessment of how you guys look pitching wise.
We were good, man. Everybody wanted the ball. That was the biggest key, and that's our main focus in the bullpen is everybody wants the ball every day. You know, Counts and Lee and DJ, they usually spread us out, you know, as much as possible and give us good rest time. So, you know, but as long as we come to the field wanting the ball, you know, I think our bullpen will keep that drive and that mentality, that, you know.
Biggest criticism of a manager is always the use of a bullpen. When it works, they're great, and when it doesn't, they suck. So that being said, how do you, when Counts uses you guys, you know, my question is, do you guys get a feel for how you guys are working, or do you rely on his feel for how you guys are working?
Oh, yeah, we communicate great, and that's, I think, the best thing about, you know, our team is the communication. You know, once we see the roles that we're starting to begin in, you know, within like the first 2 months, you know, then we'll get comfortable with each other. You know? So, I mean, we communicate a lot, so that's the good thing about it.
How do you feel?
Oh, right now I feel great. I'm ready to go. I'm glad I'm back, you know. You know, this offseason was, you know, just a little stressful with this market, but, you know, we came to the decision. It worked well in both parties.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I'm here.
Yeah, I'll bet he does feel pretty good because he is just anchored in that bullpen for sure. And they're going to rely on him. And for whatever reason, he pitches well in a Brewers uniform. And we'll take that any day.
Yeah, however it has to work. As long as he's giving us good innings, I'm in.
Absolutely. And he did mention the communication. And a lot of managers will say, well, I have an open door. Players can come to me at any time. And much like a lot of employees to employers and bosses to underlings, they feel a little intimidated doing that. And I get that, and that's in, you know, every facet of business. But it appears that Council does have a very good relationship with the bulk of his team. We'll hear from Josh Hader coming up in just a couple of minutes, but Chase Anderson was announced as the opening day starter for the 2018 championship season. And we'll go back and hear his response of a week and a half or two ago when I asked Chase, What would it be like if you got the nod on opening day?
I think it'd be honor, it'd be humbling. Can't really put that into words, you know. It would be a lot of fun, you know. I think the biggest thing to get this team started off on the right foot, you know, each day is important regardless if you're one or five. And I've been four and five in the rotation, and if that's the case, that's fine. It doesn't really matter to me. You play this game for such a short period of time, and my goal is to win a championship in Milwaukee. That's the main goal, and, you know, if that's opening day, if that's number five, I don't care. I just want to do my part.
That's a great attitude from Chase Anderson right there when we chatted just a week and a half or two ago. We'll take a break here, and we'll come back here from Josh Hader. Still to come, Lorenzo Cain and Travis Shaw. It's another edition of Spring Training Live presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. Admirals Center Ice coming up at the top of the hour. It's Tim and Tausch here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. And welcome back. It is Spring Training Live 2018 as we are presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. Admirals Center Ice coming up at the top of the hour. Tim Allen, Baby Tausch, Bill Schmid, and talking some Brewers baseball. Chase Anderson named opening day starter. Last check, let's check the scoreboard here. Brewers in play right now against the Dodgers in Cactus League action. By the way, did you happen to see that the Indians pulled off a triple play against the Brewers yesterday?
Well, you're going to focus on the negatives, so I guess I'll have to be the sunshine and rainbows of the program tonight. How about G-Man Choi with a grand slam?
How about it today? And a big come-from-behind ninth-inning victory yesterday for the Crew. Who's this Opus kid? Opus was involved. Keston Hira was involved.
Can you say that on the radio?
Nate Orff was involved again in a Brewers three-run rally to get a victory yesterday, and they're up today again.
And they combine it today with a 7-6 victory over the Dodgers. They'll take on the Texas Rangers tomorrow.
Nicely done. Another win for the Brewers in Cactus League action.
11-6, but who's counting?
I am. I definitely am. Let's go to Bill Michaels and his sit-down with the Brewers' left-hander, Josh Hader.
Last year, you guys were, pitching-wise, you guys were kind of the strength of this team, especially down the stretch. So give me your assessment kind of how the pitching staff is right now.
Pitching staff is really good. You know, we got the bullpen just to start off with. We got a bunch of guys that have come out and give you, whatever we need to win the ball game, and that's what it's about, you know, same mentality every day and ready to go and being prepared. Our starting staff, we got, a couple new pickups, and I think we're going to really have a good year with our pitching staff where we're going to execute pitches and we're going to get the job done.
Last year, you came in like a ball of fire. You had some really big moments. Is that a huge confidence boost? Was there any nerves to this? Or is this something you can build on? Or is this just something that was just every other day, no big deal, I'm good?
It was actually really easy coming in because of the bullpen that we had last year. You know, they made it really comfortable for me to, get into the right place and have the right routine every day. So, taking that from it and, when you're comfortable up there, it makes everything easier. I was just doing what I knew how to do and, pitch with my strengths. And, it played out pretty well for me. And, just continue that and learn from, my mistakes last year and, fix those for this year. So,
going into this camp, was there anything in the offseason? Were you trying to develop another pitch? Were you trying to work on anything in particular?
No, just trying to be consistent with my delivery and making sure that my release point is good.
Yeah. So last year, obviously everybody talked about the Bryce Harper moment. That was huge for you, I'm sure. But looking at all the different moments you had last year, when you talk more about the mistakes, because everybody knows success you can handle, the mistakes you can't. Anything stick out in your mind that you said, I need to do that better?
Not really too many things that stick out. More so pitch selection, pitch location, just making sure that you don't get too in a pattern where they know, what's coming. So, just mixing my secondary in as much as possible.
I was talking to Jeremy Jeffress a little earlier, and he was talking about the way you guys communicate with Craig Counsell and how you guys say, okay, I'm good this day, I'm not this day, and the use of the bullpen. Give me your assessment of kind of how you've been used and how you feel about yourself and how many times you can go.
Yeah. So that right now, that's what we're trying to figure out. You know, what the boundaries are. You know, just trying to go out there every day, and pitch and give the team a chance to win. So, the communication right there on that part is huge. And me not being too familiar with the bullpen and how it goes through a full season.
Sure.
That's going to be different for me. And that's one of the things he emphasizes is that you communicate with me and we can figure something out and work something out.
So last year, a lot of guys in this team trying to make a name for themselves. Now you've made a name for yourself. You got different pressures this year. Better, worse, a little bit different?
The same. My mentality is the same each year. Always working on things and trying to get the best I can be. And, when it comes to the game, just being prepared, being ready, and using my strengths.
Yeah. You're kind of a I want to say laid-back guy a little bit, as opposed to some of the guys in the clubhouse. How do all the personalities mesh?
Oh, I think it's great.
I
mean, you got guys that are funny. Jeff Bandy. I mean, supposedly it's the first time I saw it. We got Boat that's got a referee little reenactment, I guess.
I guess
he did it on intentional talk. He did it at one of our meetings, and it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. And then, you got leaders in here too, like Braun, and he'll put you in the right track and make sure everything's flowing well.
Yeah.
Nicely done from Bill Michaels right there, and you can tell Josh Hader, Billy, you and I have been chatting with him for what, a year or two now, mm-hmm. and you could just hear him almost every interview, just maturing. And, he can be a challenging interview for sure.
He definitely becomes more, I don't know what the word to say is, confident or strong in his answer. He seemed like when we first started talking to him, he just was worried that he was going to say something wrong. Now, I think he knows exactly how he's going to answer just about every question when he comes into it. And maybe that is just a sign of being around the team more.
It's a good job from Bill Michaels right there, who's at Maryvale Baseball Park. He's back on the air on the network tomorrow at 10. He also had a chance to sit down and chat with Lorenzo Cain. A lot of people, and still to this day, still to this minute, say, what were you doing? You had a plethora of outfielders. There's Santana. You already made the Yelich deal. There's Santana. There's Braun. There's Phillips. There's Broxton. You're set there. But David Stearns pulled the trigger on Lorenzo Cain, and he's going to play a big, big role. Bill had a chance to chat with Lorenzo.
Just coming back, what's it like?
Not a lot has changed. The only thing that's really changed for me is, it's a bunch of young new players now. So I'm learning everybody. Learning personalities, still learning names. But as a whole, I'm definitely enjoying myself here right now.
Pretty successful in Kansas City. So when you talk about championship clubhouses, camaraderie, chemistry, there's a lot of intangibles that go into winning. So give me a sense of how you feel about this clubhouse.
This clubhouse definitely has that pedigree. A lot of young, talented group. Chemistry is through the roof. I can already tell and feel. And definitely a lot of similarities when I was over at KC. So it's a group that's ready to go out here and win, ready to go out here and compete. And a group that can't compete with anybody. So it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of very exciting season. But at the same time, it's about going out there, getting it done on the field. So at the end of the day, we'll see what happens, and got to go out there and have some fun.
Got to be salivating a bit. It's a little bit different going from a Kansas City ballpark to Miller Park. That seems to be a bandbox. It's got some different nuances to it. Playing outfield's a little bit different, but as far as being a power hitter and being a guy that can put a ball in play at Miller Park, you got to be kind of smiling a little bit.
For sure. It's definitely nice to get to a hitter's park. But at the same time, I just got to remind myself to stay with my game, stay with my line drive approach, and just let everything else take care of itself. So, it definitely gonna be nice hitting there and for the legs as well.
In a day of analytics, where people look at WAR and people look at different numbers such as OPS, when you look at the outfield that you guys have now, it's upgraded. I mean, you guys look like you guys can not only you personally, but can really put the ball in play consistently where they struggled at the end of last season.
Yeah, that's always been part of my game. I've never been a guy that that'll hit you 30 home runs. So I gotta do it in other ways. So that's why I pride myself on being an all around player. I can do a little bit of everything. I say that's me and myself and Yelich is gonna be huge, huge addition to this team. We're both, you know, contact hitters. So, like I say, just to have that versatility up and down your lineup is always nice.
Real quick before I let you go, the American League versus the National League, big difference or not?
For me, you know, just being in AL for so long, you know, I got used to seeing the same faces, facing the same guys, just seeing a lot of the same pitchers each and every day. So, for me, it's just learning the NL pitchers. This is going to be the biggest challenge for me. So, once I get that down, you know, I'm sure everything will be all right.
Brewers outfielder Lorenzo Cain there with Bill Michaels here on The Fan. And about 4 years ago or so, I remember this, Rami Makhlouf and I had a conversation about Doug Melvin and the philosophy there of power hitters and building a team around the ballpark. You know, you get 80 games at home, 81 games at home, and why wouldn't you build it there and get a power hitter and get some, you know, Russell Branyan's in here and get some of these guys in here that can pop a three-run home run. You know, and about 4 years ago, I really started thinking as the game changed almost fully to analytics, you know, why wouldn't a team at Miller Park be built around guys like Lorenzo Cain and Yelich and guys that put the ball in play? And I'd use the term, and I use this term quite frequently, Billy, about pinball players.
Mm-hmm.
And just rattle the ball around corners, rattle them off the walls, get it in play, move the line, on base percentage, let's go. And I think that's where David Stearns is at right now.
Understanding that the ballpark's going to give you some home runs, you might as well just get yourself ability to play anywhere you go, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, just find the gaps, get a base hit, and just keep the line moving. And I think we're going to see a different brand of Brewers baseball here. And I wonder, as we get closer to the season, of course, we'll talk more about it, but I wonder if the managerial style changes for Craig Counsell with what he's got mm-hmm. in that lineup.
Well, and I know a lot of people will be very excited to know this, Tim. Earlier today, Bill Michaels was doing some Facebook Live while he was doing the show, and they were doing bunting practice. So don't worry, everybody. They do practice bunting, as many people will want to know.
Absolutely. Travis Shaw won't be laying down a lot of bunts this coming season, but we'll hear from Travis Shaw. It is next. You want to jump in here? A couple of minutes left for you. 414-799-1250. Tim Allen, Baby Tosh, Bill Schmid. It is Spring Training Live presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. Admirals Center Ice at the top of the hour here on The Fan. And welcome back. It is Spring Training Live 2018, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. Cannot wait. 2 weeks from Thursday, the Brewers are going to open things up in San Diego, and we'll get the 2018 championship season off and running. Looking forward to a lot of fun stuff this year on the postgame show. Tune in. Oh, we'll be singing, we'll be dancing, we'll be talking to you guys, and we'll hear from Travis Shaw here in just a second. Let me squeeze in Jim here. Hey, Jim, you're on The Fan. What's happening?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, just a couple of things. First off, you were talking about Arrieta, and I wasn't in a position to call. 3 years at $75 million for a guy whose arm has definitely seen a drop-off each of the last 2 years. I don't know. I'm really glad we stayed away. I really am. I mean, you'd like to see Arrieta from 2 years ago, you know, at $25 million a year, but not necessarily the guy that we saw last year and you know, what may be there in 2 years.
Yeah, and as I said, Jim, I think the biggest advantage of not signing him is the flexibility that you've got moving forward.
Yes. Good point. Yeah, because, again, come July, you know, if you think you need an arm, you've got the financial ability to go out and do what you got to do.
But the key point is, thanks for the call, Jim, the key point is get off to a decent start. I mean, just get off to a decent start.
If you're not in it, they're not going to do anything. So make sure that you're there. Make sure you're there. Yep.
Yes, you have to be in it. You have to be viable. You got to be legitimate. And the numbers got to bear that out. And they're going to dissect the numbers, you bet. But because think about it, they get off to a good start, not only the flexibility because you didn't sign Arrieta, not only the flexibility with money, but also the advantage of having Jimmy Nelson come back at the same time. And now it's a 1-2 punch to add to a rotation that's already gotten off to a good start. And it is key this year, man. You want to talk about games, you know, meaning the same thing on game two as 102 and 162. We saw what happened last year, coming up one game short. Now, again, they got some come-from-behind victories. They got a few where you thought they lost, and then they come back and steal that victory. But I think it's paramount for the flexibility of acquiring a pitcher via trade or whatever it might be, and then having Jimmy Nelson come back. That could be a 1-2 punch, which would ensure a very fun summer in the city of Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin when it comes to Brewers baseball. Let's squeeze in a couple of comments from Travis Shaw as he sat down earlier today with Bill Michaels.
Give me your thoughts on camp thus far.
Camp's been going well. Everybody's kind of gelling a little bit and learning some new guys in the clubhouse. I think offensively we're going to be a very good team. I think we should score a lot of runs. I think from everything I've gathered so far, I mean, it's all positive. I think we're in a good spot right now. I like our pitching. Our pitching carried us in the second half. I like the capability of our rotation. Back into the bullpen is going to be extremely strong, so we're looking pretty good.
Is it difficult to carry over, say, confidence or charisma of a team or, you know, character of a team from season to season?
It can be if there's a bunch of new guys, but pretty much position player-wise, it's the same group of guys, minus, I mean, we added, obviously, Yelich and Kane, but besides that, it's the same group. So I think it'll be pretty easy to carry over this year.
With a team that has as much talent offensively as you guys look to have, is it difficult? Because you got some guys that may not even make this squad. Is it difficult to kind of look around the clubhouse and know that you've got so much talent? I mean, it's a good thing, but don't get me wrong. But there's going to be some guys that are really talented that should be in the bigs. It won't be.
Yeah, I mean, towards the end of camp, I think everybody knows what those positions are and those battles that are going on right now. It's going to be the end of camp. There's going to be some decisions that have to be made, especially if it's the same group in here in 2 weeks. So. It is what it is. I mean, we have the depth. Like you said, it's going to help us as a team, but individually there's going to be some guys that are going to be upset, but that's the nature of this game. I've been in that position before with my previous team, so at some point all these guys in here are going to help us at some point.
Yeah, and there's Travis Shaw, and he's right on the money. And good teams, that's what happens to good teams. They got to cut loose good talent. When you start, you know, measuring who's going to break camp, there's only 25 spots and out of options. And, man, it's going to be interesting, especially a guy like Jesus Aguilar.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be one of the toughest cuts of them all.
Keon Broxton, who prior to Yelich and Kane was poised to start in center field and get his 140 to 150 games out there. Man, that's going to be some tough cuts. A Yovani Gallardo, a Wade Miley. Some of these guys are going to be disappointed here in just a couple of weeks. So that's going to do it for us. Admiral Center Ice is up next. What's new with the Admirals, Billy?
Not a whole lot as we get ready to go into the playoff push. About 4 weeks left in the season. Off onto a road trip. Two of three victories over this past weekend. Also, Tim got to meet the famed Becca Hamilton curler from Madison this past weekend.
Nice.
Her boyfriend's nuts. Cool dude. I think him and I would have a really, really good time together.
Okay. All right. We'll talk to you again next Monday night. Another edition of Spring Training Live presented by those Milwaukee Admirals. Two-man advantage. Ticket package still available. Check out MilwaukeeAdmirals.com for all the information. I'd like to thank Bill Michaels for grabbing some interviews. As he is out at Maryvale Baseball Park, he'll be back live from Maryvale tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. And we'll see you again, as I said, next Monday night. For Baby Tosh, Bill Schmidt, my name is Tim Allen. You guys have a great night and a great week. And remember, as always, smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.